York City, there are 700,000 children who live in poverty. Almost half the children in the city are living in poverty, so 44% of the children.
The Committee Against Anti-Asian Violence released a report documenting what they say is a pattern of police abuse in Asian American communities.
If my friend was shot in the back, then the officer should be arrested.
This kind of ineffective and at times incompetent behavior by NYPD.
This man's in the back.
Someday the Times will stumble upon this tragedy.
Robinson, an African-American plainclothes transit officer, was shot several times in the back by a white off-duty officer, Peter Del Debbio.
This is a prayer from an inmate at a correctional facility.
It's amazing to me how we can always afford another policeman to build another prison.
This cut that the mayor is instituting will destroy the ability to care for all the citizens of New York.
The WBAI Evening News, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
You're listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where it's time for Off the Hook. Welcome to Off the Hook. And that really is our philosophy, even though it's said in sort of a different way here. But, well.
What did you say? We would all start burning. When should I make a pledge? Should I listen to the voices in my head?
This is Emmanuel Goldstein and Fiber Optics over here.
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
Hi.
It's our new theme song.
Is it really?
Connect the goddamn dots!
Well, it seems to wrap up our philosophy a lot. I don't know, it speaks to me.
Sounds very sexist to me.
I don't think ministers are very happy to know that they sound like the Sex Pistols.
Wow.
Come to think of it, I don't think the Sex Pistols would be happy to know
probably
that.
Probably not. Like...
But, all right, we'll just let that go there. How you been?
I've been okay.
Yeah?
I've been
pretty good, too. Pretty good, too. You know, next week, I don't know if people noticed this, if they got their special calendars yet, but next week is our special ADSL show.
Yes, it is.
And, well, should we be real bastards and not tell anybody what ADSL means until next week, or should we maybe give some info out, but not all of it?
Well, we should give some info out, but not all of it.
Okay, because there are festivities, and we don't want to, ruin them. All right? So,
is that the little festivity sound?
No, we still have a minute left in this song.
Oh, okay.
So, plenty of festivities to go around.
I see.
Why don't we tell people what ADSL stands for?
Okay. ADSL stands for Asymmetric Digital Subscriber Line.
Uh-huh.
And
it's not ISDN, is it?
It's not ISDN. The only thing it does have in common...
Tell us something we don't know.
The only thing it does have in common with ISDN is that it still does nothing. But,
Well, out here it does nothing.
Yeah.
But you know what? In Canada, it does a lot.
Well...
In fact, next week we're going to have a very special guest who actually has ADSL.
In Ottawa, no one.
In Ottawa, Canada. They use it there. They get some phenomenal data rate, which is faster than a T1. Over a twisted pair, mind you.
Yep.
Faster than a T1.
Unbelievable.
And only cost about $80 a month, Canadian. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more decisive.
Well, the problem I think they have in the regional bells is exactly that. How do they turn a profit on T1s?
Yeah.
You know, if you offer a service for residential customers
mm-hmm.
that's priced more competitively than getting a T1, then I think that they would lose revenue. They need to find a place for this new service to fit.
Well, yeah.
Tariffs.
I mean, the thing is, they're offering more for less.
Right.
You know, and that's always where you're going to make more money. But the thing is, how is it technologically possible to keep making things go faster and faster over these? You know, I was told that phone lines would never go faster than 2,400 baud at one point.
No, well, bear in mind, these lines are not switched.
Mm-hmm.
If they were switched, they would be a lot slower.
Okay.
They're talking a particular speed between you and the central office or between you and, say, directly to an internet service provider.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a leased line.
Okay.
The difference between... one of the major differences between ISDN and ADSL is that ISDN uses the switched telephone network. ADSL does not. ADSL uses a similar technology that allows you to achieve T1 speeds, 1.544 megabits per second, on a single twisted pair. And they do that using a technology called HDSL, which predates ADSL.
Mm-hmm.
And HDSL is simply high-speed digital subscriber line. But that's symmetric. The speed is the same going both ways. ADSL, on the other hand, the speed is faster coming towards you than it is from you going out.
But it's not dramatically faster.
No.
I thought it'd be something like, you know, you get 14.4 going out. And
the first few phases of ADSL when they were testing it were very slow going out and very fast coming in, but apparently they've been able to improve that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the further away you are from who it is that you have the lease line connecting to,
uh-huh.
the slower your maximum data rate is going to be. They were talking in more widely spaced areas, most likely when they say widely spaced, they're probably going to mean places like the New England telephone area, like Boston, where they've had so many problems with ISDN and repeaters. But basically, with the ADSL, they've been able to achieve a maximum throughput of 384 kilobits over a distance of 5 miles, which is impressive compared with the problems they've had with ISDN. But that doesn't sound like much for people with ISDN. But in the ideal scenario, if you're in a metropolitan area, you're going to be able to achieve speeds in excess of approximately 6 megabits coming in.
So it's not dependent on where you are.
It has a lot to do with distance, how far you are from the actual equipment that you're connecting to,
mm-hmm.
which is always what it has to do with, is the amount of loss that's going to be introduced into the circuit depending on how far away you are. It's called attenuation, is a loss over distance.
Right. Right now, I think in Ottawa, the limitation, you have to be 3 kilometers or less.
Yeah.
To the central office, but they're going to do away with that real soon,
yeah.
from what I hear. But we'll have more info on that next week.
Yeah. So something we should add is anybody who's looked into ISDN and links to ISDN on the web
mm-hmm.
has probably heard of Dan Cagle's ISDN page, which is rather famous. Dan Cagle has also set up an ADSL page off of his ISDN page that has some interesting links. Has some news about ADSL service in GTE and ADSL service in US West that's upcoming, and various other tidbits and information about products.
It's going on Motorola, for example. 40 people show up at the same time.
Yeah.
No wonder what's
going on. Hi, this is Jammy Jam.
No. Got the wrong station. We're talking about ADSL.
ADSL. Let me give out that URL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give out the that's for ISDN, though.
No, this is for ADSL.
Oh, okay. But it's just link. Subscribing an ISDN page.
No. I was describing an ADSL page.
Oh, I thought you said ISDN page.
No, I said it's a link off of Dan Cagle's ISDN page.
Oh, okay. See, I'm getting all confused with the two technologies here.
No, he's actually... He compiled all this information about ADSL products and news and made it a link on his ISDN page.
Mm-hmm.
But the URL for that is www.alumni.caltech.edu/Dan K, as in Dan Cagle, /ISDN/ADSL.html.
Yeah, we've been talking like this for years, and now everyone else is talking like this, you know, with slashes and tildes and you know, all these web pages and things like that. You see them everywhere.
Well, I originally...
They better listen to us, because we're always talking of, you know, in the future, and, you know, it catches on after a while. Hang on one second. You know what I'm doing right now?
What are you doing right now?
Sending email on my phone. Like, I had a lot of fun this week. I actually had some good things to say about OmniPoint, because I used it. I was meeting somebody someplace. I was driving, and I sent them email because they didn't have a phone, but they were checking their email, and I got directions that way by sending them email. It actually works. So right now what I'm doing is I'm sending email to get information from 2600, and it's really kind of cool. You know, you enter the message, and then you enter the number you want. Well, actually, you always enter what, 121?
It's always 121.
121 is their gateway?
Yeah, that's the number that they assign.
Okay, so I already entered the address, I entered the message, and now I am sending the message to 121, which is the magical OmniPoint interface with the internet. Sending message, please wait. And I should get a message back really quickly with the information that I want. Sending message, please wait. It still says, message failed.
Message failed.
Oh, this is the one thing I don't like.
Oh, well, I have poor signal in here. Do you?
No, I have signal.
I have no signal in this room.
I have two little dot things.
Really?
Okay, now what's the quickest way for me to resend that message without retyping the whole thing?
Wait, you mean to tell me that I have no network sitting a few feet away from you, but you have signal over there?
Whack the phone on the side really hard.
Oh, wait, there's the signal.
See, I told you. Okay, I'm gonna do a send messages, right, and it'll pop right back up.
Yeah, actually, it should still be there.
Okay, let's...
If you just right arrow over to it.
Okay, right arrow over to it. Written, yes, okay. And then I go yes, and enter number 121. Sending message, please wait. It's a lot harder to do this when you're driving, let me tell you.
Yep.
Now it's ringing.
Somebody's calling you?
But what happened to my message? No, I don't want to answer that.
Say no.
I did. I said no, okay. But I don't know what happened to my message. It never said...
Try sending it once more, just for safe measure.
Okay. See, this can get kind of frustrating after a while. Someone's being a real pain in the ass, and what I'm going to do is... message failed. Okay, I got the message that it failed again.
Okay. Yeah, there's really poor signal in this room.
Well, I'm getting a signal, but what I'm going to do right now, before this gets out of hand, is take my forwarding options and forward all calls.
You have to have signal to do that, bear in mind.
I'm just going to turn the phone off and we'll just later. I tried to have fun with this thing on the air.
Only a couple of months ago we had a beautiful signal.
Phone is off. You know, I've noticed
in
that
the studio.
In several places around the city, the signal has deteriorated. I don't know why.
The only thing I could think of is either there was a cell site on the roof of this building or in a surrounding building, and either something didn't work out with the management company or the landlord or whoever it was, and the cell site was moved or removed. Or maybe the cell site has gone down and no one's aware of this.
You know what? If you check the latest issue of 2600,
you'll have a list.
There's a whole list of every single transmitter in New York City. And
but we leave the exact address as an exercise to the reader.
Yes, but we can find out and look into it later. I was looking for transmitters, and some of them are very hard to find because they disguise them.
Some of them are disguised as brick.
There's different
the actual
kinds.
Antennas.
There's micros. There's minis, and there's other kinds on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, some of them have three transmitters per building. Some of them only have one.
Well, the actual base transceiver station, the cell site itself, is going to be up on the typically up on the roof if it's the waterproofed version.
Right.
Or somewhere within the building.
Well, is it ever on the side of the building?
No, the only thing that's ever going to be on the side of the building that's that small is the antenna that's connected to the cell site.
Uh-huh.
Those are the things that are actually disguised as brick.
Okay.
Cell sites themselves are a little too big. We're talking about, you know, cabinet of equipment.
Even the smallest ones?
Even the smallest ones that I've seen that are made by Northern Telecom and Ericsson, which are the predominant ones, are typically not going to be fastened to the side of a building because, personally, I would be concerned about it falling off and killing someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's probably safer to put them on the roof.
But, I suppose.
I was handed something interesting just now.
Does it have to do with OmniPoint?
No,
it
actually
has my OmniPoint
okay.
Story of the week, because I remember I talked about the bill last week.
Right, yeah.
And what I wanted to
you
do
threw
was...
that up.
Well, I tried. You know, I called several times. And, you know, this is what happens. Life gets in the way of a lot of things that you want to do. So, you know, I put them on speakerphone. I didn't call using my phone. I used my OmniPoint
right.
phone. I called using my real phone. And I put it on speakerphone.
Right.
And I just, you know, went about my business. And then, you know... people call and say, hey, you want to do something? Or, you know, there's, like, you know, police outside you have to deal with, or whatever happens, you know. You just got to, like, you know, drop the phone and go deal with it. And, you know, after, like, 20, 30 minutes, you just sort of, like, you know, hang up. You can't stay on that long.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until today, this afternoon, that I actually was able to get through.
How long did it take?
20 minutes. And I congratulated the guy when he picked up. I said, you know, this is the quickest I've ever gotten a response. And I was very happy. And, you know, he accepted the congratulations. He said,
really?
Oh, thank you. But this is the catch, okay? He said, after accepting the congratulations that I gave to him, he said, oh, by the way, sir, I am not really OmniPoint. I am simply somebody that has been hired by OmniPoint to take messages. This is during
really?
The middle of the day. Yeah, he said, and this is real news to me, they're getting a lot of calls and they're not able to handle all of them. So what they're doing is taking people's numbers and getting back to them.
Really?
Yeah, so...
they've hired an answering service.
They've hired an answering service even during the day to take their calls.
Wow.
And maybe somebody will get back to me. But the thing is, you know, it's going to be hard to connect now. You know, I hope they try me as often as I try them.
Yeah.
And the problem is that there's this big bill that's, you know, sort of lying around not being paid until we settle these things. And I just hope they don't get too angry about that.
Yeah. You could always try, you know, this may or may not help. You could always try sending an SMS message directly
uh-huh.
to customer service.
Well, you see, I live in a place that doesn't have service, so I can't send anything.
Well,
unless it's email. Unless it's email.
Yeah, actually, email should work.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell people how to do that.
Aren't they supposed to know?
Not on the air.
Aren't people supposed to know how to send email to these people?
Well, I don't know if they're supposed to... Well, let's put it this way. If you put two and two together, it's very easy to figure out how to send email to customer service.
Okay.
Or an SMS message. What I will tell you is...
611 at OmniPoint.com, right?
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
I guessed it just now, didn't I?
No, that's not it.
Oh, why'd you say yeah then for it?
I was leading you on.
Oh. I'm going to send it anyway. It might work.
No, that's not it.
What, you've tried it?
Oh, I haven't tried it.
And
I know
no, it doesn't work. It might forward. It might be an alias.
Oh.
You don't know.
Feel free.
You know what's really amazing, though, is that the addresses are, is it one plus area code plus number or just area code plus number?
One.
One area code number at OmniPoint.com is
dot
the
net.
Email. Dot net?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The website is OmniPoint.com, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's one area code number at OmniPoint.net.
Right.
I mean... You could whale through every single user of OmniPoint very easily and send them all the same message from any.
Don't give anyone ideas.
Well, I think they would have had these ideas. You know, I'm just amazed I haven't gotten junk mail from
phone spam. Yeah.
Yeah. Although the message you get is not you don't get all of it. You only get a couple of ones.
160 characters is the maximum size.
And a lot of that is taken up by headers, isn't it?
They don't give you the full header. All they give you is the from.
Oh, okay.
The email gateway filters out everything but the from
uh-huh.
and the subject.
Okay.
That's what it passes.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any junk mail yet, but I'm surprised.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
But I have two handy OmniPoint tips for the day.
Maybe we could turn
this into a regular ongoing thing.
Yes.
Our OmniPoint tips. OmniPoint tip number one is you can get the weather any time of day or night.
That's right.
Simply by composing a new message consisting of the name of the city, a comma, and the two-character state code without any spaces, and sending that to 444, the same number that you send stock quotes to. And you'll get a reply giving you the current weather. For those of you that subscribe to the weather service and get broadcast messages at 6 a.m., that's the weather for the day as of that morning. If you request the weather, so let's say, for example, at night, it'll give you the weather for that night or that afternoon, depending on whether you do it in the evening or late night, which is rather handy. Are you doing that right now?
I'm currently entering Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
To see if I can actually get the weather for over there. And it doesn't take very long. No, I'm not going to answer that. Actually, let me take care of that right away. You go to forward, and you forward all calls.
That's right.
And you activate... Wait a minute, where's that number coming from? That's weird.
What number?
I don't know. There was a phone number on there, and it was like forwarding it to that number, and it was in California. I don't know how that happened. That's really weird. Hey, do me a favor. Forward my phone while I talk. Just forward it to voicemail or whatever.
Okay, I'll forward your phone to voicemail.
Concentrate and do all this at the same time. That's really annoying, though. When you're doing something and someone's calling you as you're doing it, you lose what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Where would you like to forward it
that's
to?
That's the voicemail.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. Nice and simple.
Yep.
And by the way, I will find who's calling me, and I will be with them. That's the thing, you know, the number is captured no matter what.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, do you want OmniPoint tip number two?
What's that?
OmniPoint tip number two is that if you're really fed up dialing 411 and getting a make-believe directory assistance person who's just sitting there with a couple of CD-ROMs.
Yeah, that's a real pain.
You can dial area code plus 555 plus 121X.
Really?
And get real directory assistance.
So, say this again. Area code?
Yeah. 555.
555.
Instead of 1212?
Yeah.
Obviously, this is only going to work in areas where you can reach directory assistance at multiple numbers.
Say 1213 instead of 1212.
As an example.
Okay.
And that'll go through to real directory assistance.
Okay.
Which is handy. Network problem. That's because sitting over here, I have very little signals compared to you sitting over there.
Never mind. Just forget it. It just doesn't matter.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah. You know, I lost my phone yesterday.
Yeah, but you got it back.
Left my phone. Well, you just gave away the ending. Yeah, but I left my phone in a cab.
Yeah.
You know, and I never thought I'd be so stupid. But actually, it wasn't really my fault because it has this clip on it, and it comes off. And you don't know it came off.
My clip doesn't fit around my belt.
Yeah.
It slides on the surface of my belt.
Yeah, mine is something similar.
And I've had lots of times where I slide across the seat of the cab to get out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
The phone pops right off, and I don't even feel it.
Yeah.
So I've just gotten into a regular routine.
Of feeling your belt when you
get out of being a paranoid moron when I get out of a cab and basically turning around, looking at the seat, making sure my phone is on my belt, and after I close the door, staring into the back seat of the cab for about 10 seconds before I let him drive away.
You're the person I always get stuck behind is doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And so far I haven't lost my phone.
Thing is, I lost the phone while that annoying lady was telling me to look for my personal belongings, you know, in the recording, and I totally ignored her. And the good thing about losing a phone is that you can call a phone.
Right.
So I called the phone. Of course, there's no answer right away. I guess the guy had to find it first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't know if I'd get a passenger or the cab driver, but after about 3 tries, he picked up.
Well, you're lucky you were the last fare. Somebody would have hopped in the cab after you. Passenger would have taken the phone.
I think I was the last fare ever to have been in that cab because it sounded like the brakes were about to fall off.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it just made this rubbing noise every time they hit. Oh, it was awful. But the guy was really honest and friendly. And I think that's the case with most cab drivers.
Yeah.
In fact, I know a lot of cab drivers listen to us. So
So that is true.
Big friendly hello to the cab drivers out there. Hold on a second. I got to figure out what mic you're on. 1, 2. Okay, try this one. Go ahead. No, it's not. Hold on. I'll get it. Try this one.
Has anyone noticed getting into cabs and they've been hearing like a drunken Brigitte Bardot doing like a, oh, hey, baby.
Yeah. Well, you see what that is?
That's her as the kid.
Batwoman. Yeah, that's kind of like a Las Vegas thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of like
why you lost your phone because you're sitting there listening to like some drunken young Brigitte Bardot like.
No, I was. I don't listen to those things at all. I totally blacked them out. But,
Actually, the cab drivers have gotten smarter because before they would hit their hired button right away as soon as you got in. You're trying to talk over the recording to tell him where you're going.
Well, you know, I never thought about
and
that.
And he would invariably take you to the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now they've gotten smarter. They listen to where you want to go first, and then they hit the hired button.
Well, you know, I think it's a great idea to have a radio show about cab drivers, but this is not it.
No, this is not it.
We have to talk about computers and things like that. So
did you see that news item?
No, I didn't. Why don't you tell me about that?
Okay.
It comes from CNN FN.
Yeah.
Which I actually get on my DSS.
You really?
Yes. It turns into CNN International at 9 o'clock, which is kind of cool.
Oh, none of us primitives in Manhattan actually get this.
There are some really good channels there. There's News World International, comes from Canada, which has a lot of international news of various sorts in the language of the country it's coming from. Like, I saw Chinese news last night. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you don't know what the news was. Is there subtitles?
Well, I could have moved to English and found out what it was.
Oh, so you chose to see it in a language you didn't understand.
I chose to hear the foreign tongue in the background. I wasn't really paying attention anyway, so I just figured it would be kind of cool.
It's kind of like secondary audio programming, but
well, you know, I was watching. In fact, they did a piece on hackers on ABC News last week.
Did
somebody
really?
Called me up to say, hey, you were just on ABC News. And I said, well, no bother. I'll watch the Seattle station on my DSS, which comes on 3 hours later, and I was able to see it 3 hours later.
Huh.
And while I was watching the Seattle station, I saw an ad for U.S. West, which is their phone company out there. They have this service. They say there's too many area codes. I mean, look at this. There's area codes all over the place. 617. You know what 617 is, right?
Yeah, that's Massachusetts.
That's right. But do you know where 781 is?
I don't know where any of the ones with the new number.
781 and 978. And they're all in the same area as 617.
Yeah.
You know?
So they're all Massachusetts.
Yes. Hang on. I got to figure out your mic again. Yes, go ahead.
Talking about the smarts of Bell Atlantic again. My work, we have a...
I haven't gotten to U.S. West yet, but go ahead.
Okay, well... 1-800 numbers we have for our clients to call up for a case of an emergency. Mm-hmm. Well, Bell Atlantic forgot to say that, you know, 201 is 973 in it now. Well, they forgot to give 973 access to the 800 numbers.
Uh-huh.
So we had clients calling in for numerous amounts of days that weren't able to get access because...
973 is part of New Jersey now.
Yeah,
but it's not officially part yet. You can still dial.
No, but they're like, they half switched it over and half not. It's weird. So some numbers you can only dial now with 973, but the 800 number, if people dial in from 973
mm-hmm.
and they used to be 201, uh-huh. they can't get access to it. They didn't automatically switch over the 800 numbers for a.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, that's a problem. In fact, there's an OmniPoint exchange, which is blocked from many places because it's a new exchange, and a lot of people are having trouble
actually,
with that.
Actually, I found out it's only blocked in New Jersey.
No, it's not true.
Yeah, it is.
It's blocked on AT&T Mobile anywhere.
Really?
Yes,
is it?
Absolutely. Ask him right there. He's got it. In fact, you have a phone. Right now, you could try it.
Wow.
Try calling. Slimmy, you don't have a phone. Where's your phone?
I pay my bill after Hope.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I guess everyone's bill went up.
Okay.
But anyway, to get back to this U.S. West thing. So they had this advertisement where all these area codes, you know, 781, 978, 973, you know, I don't know where they all are. And they had this thing saying, you know, nobody knows where these area codes go to, and you can't be expected to know who to call for information, you know. If you call 617 information and you're wanting a number in 781, which used to be 617, they're going to say, no, you got to call 781-555-1212. You're not going to know that. So U.S. West has this service where you just simply dial 1 plus your area code and 555-1212, and you get information for anywhere in the country. What do you think about that?
You can call AT&T and get information anywhere in the country.
How do you do that?
You call AT&T and ask for information.
You do?
Yeah.
You just call AT&T.
No, if I remember correctly, you should be able to hit 00 to get AT&T and ask for AT&T information.
Ask for AT&T information.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's some flunky sitting there with access to a couple of different databases.
Uh-huh.
You know, look it up anywhere in the country.
Well, let's see if we can do that.
Okay.
We'll try...
If we do get them and they're listening, I meant flunky figuratively.
Yeah. This number one... Okay, here we go. All right. We're going to do 102-880 because that should work just as easily. And you'll be doing the speaking on this one.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
AT&T. To place a call, please dial the number that you are calling.
I'll save a lot of time and hit zero.
Thank you.
Please hold for operator assistance. AT&T, how may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Can you connect me with AT&T directory assistance, please?
Yes, sir. I am AT&T and I can get your directory. For which area code, do you know?
No, actually, I'm not sure.
Okay, where are you calling? I can look up what area code.
We're calling Massachusetts.
Okay.
It's one of those crazy new area codes.
You don't know what town or area?
Do you have a nationwide information service?
Not that I can access, no.
So we'd have to know the area code in order to connect to the right one, right?
Yes, we do give credit if you reach the wrong one.
Uh-huh.
They do have 3 area codes there in Massachusetts.
Actually, they got more than that. They have 617-781-978-508.
Okay, the others aren't even showing up yet when I pull it up.
they're new, yes, they're new. That's what I'm worried about. Okay, I'll do a little more research.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's not your fault.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. I don't know what I'm thanking her for, but she did a good job. No, they don't have it. See, they don't have it.
What?
They don't have what you said they had.
Because no, AT&T has directory assistance.
Well, she doesn't know about it, and she's an AT&T employee.
Oh.
They may have directory assistance in certain cities, but you still have to know the area code. You see, what U.S. West is offering, you simply dial, like we would dial 1-212-555-1212 and say, I want information for, you know, Sloatsburg, New York, or
right.
whatever. And
AT&T had nationwide directory. Okay. If anybody knows what it is who's listening, they can feel free to call in.
Yes, and our phone number is 212-279-3400. We'll be taking calls in just a moment. Now, you can tell us what this story from CNN-FN is.
Yeah,
The
story from CNN-FN is that San Francisco Reuters reported that the U.S. government regulations on the export of encryption software are unconstitutional. And this was ruled by a federal judge on Monday. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? That a federal judge would say that it's unconstitutional for the government to enforce regulations on encryption software?
How many whiskey salads? Oh, yeah, I mean, that's possible. That's definitely possible.
Well, that's the story.
That's the whole story? There's more paragraphs there.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to find a quote from the judge. Here's a judge, a female judge, U.S. District Judge Marilyn Hall Patel. And one of her quotes is, by the very terms of the encryption regulations, the most common expressive activities of scholars, teaching a class, publishing their ideas, speaking at conferences, or writing to colleagues over the Internet, are subject to a prior restraint by the export controls. This was stated in her part of her ruling.
Okay.
So just because one federal judge in San Francisco says that it's unconstitutional doesn't really mean a whole heck of a lot, but hopefully it's a start.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised when federal judges have a clue.
Yeah.
But like you say, you know, it's insignificant as just one. I think it is significant, but it can easily be overturned or defeated. But I think, you know, showing support for something like that is a, you know, a good start.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that she issued a permanent injunction barring the government from enforcing these regulations against someone by the name of Daniel Bernstein, who apparently came out with some encryption program. And I'm assuming that the government was trying to enforce some restrictions on him.
Mm-hmm.
Preventing him from discussing or publishing his encryption program abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying it was okay to do that. So,
well, good for her.
Yeah, but if that was me, who's right and who's wrong?
If that was you, what?
If I was the guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a federal judge in San Francisco said it was okay for me to discuss, use, or publish my encryption software overseas.
Right.
But the rest of the government, and especially the NSA, says it's not okay.
Oh. Well, I would imagine the federal judge has the final say. I mean, that's what judges are for.
Yeah, but what if
judgment?
What if another federal judge?
Well, they're going to appeal it. They're going to appeal it.
Right.
But the thing is, this is a victory for right now until the next defeat comes along.
Right.
So we should relish the victory until the defeat happens.
Yeah, but if I'm trying to run a business based on whether or not I can do this,
well,
I can't afford to
run for a little while now, and then, you know, until the injunctions come and you get hauled off to prison, then it's and we live in tenuous times.
Yeah, I guess.
Welcome to the 90s. And we had another story, which I seem to have lost. Did you
really?
Check that one that was sitting
which
there?
Which one?
About the guy.
The guy? Oh.
The guy, you know.
The guy from where?
The guy that got in trouble. I
oh,
had it sitting
the,
right here.
You mean Carlos?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's attached to that piece.
Is it attached to that? No.
There it is. I folded it in half and wrote a note.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me read the story first.
Yeah.
Our phone number is 212-279-3400. Still area code 212.
Still.
I don't know, has anything happened with 646? Remember that whole big debate earlier in the year?
I have not heard anything new.
I heard a rumor that everything above 59th Street was going to be 646. Or maybe 57th Street.
Yeah, but we said that when we first heard about it.
Yeah, but I heard a rumor that was approved. But I haven't heard it anywhere else, so I think it's not true.
Yeah.
Anyway, a computer hacker accused of collecting 100,000 credit card numbers off the Internet pleaded guilty before his scheduled trial. Carlos Felipe Salgado Jr., 36 years old, could get up to 30 years in prison and a $1 million fine when he is sentenced on November 25th. He was indicted in May on charges that he gathered credit data from a dozen companies selling products over the Internet. The FBI arrested him following a sting in which he tried to sell the information to agents posing as organized crime figures, agency spokesman George Grotz said. Salgado asked for $260,000. His trial had been scheduled to start Monday. Instead, he admitted to four counts, including unauthorized access of a computer, trafficking stolen credit card numbers, and possessing more than 15 stolen card numbers with intent to defraud. My question with this story, which came over CNN, also another CNN, SciTech website, what does this have to do with hacking? Where's the hacker aspect in this? This guy, he gets 100,000 credit card numbers and makes deals with organized crime figures and takes money. I see nothing involving hackers here.
No, unfortunately, in that story, there is nothing involving hacking.
Okay.
But as far as hackers, I was, I can venture to say that I was acquainted with this person years ago, many years ago, and I was extremely bright, very sharp, very, very Unix and networking savvy, and had, had even applied for a job with the government. I won't say specifically what branch of the government, but it had to do with crypto.
Okay.
And he was an extremely sharp guy. How he went from that to this, I'll never know. Mm. And obviously, he hasn't made any statements to that effect.
Right.
And if and when he does, maybe we'll get some glimpse of what exactly happened that led him to do this. I mean, other than the obvious lure of obtaining a large sum of money, you know, just over $250,000 isn't chump change, but to what according to the story, it seems like he intercepted credit cards, credit card numbers on the Internet. If for all we know, he could have broken into an Internet service provider and stole credit cards while they were being stored, before they were being processed for, say, new user submissions. We don't exactly know because they haven't said. And I think it's highly unlikely that whoever wrote this story knows either. They probably don't know. And
yeah, but there's the matter of the $260,000 in the organized crime figures. That doesn't bode well there.
No, I mean the obvious lure of the money and the they weren't organized crime figures. They were federal agents posing as organized crime figures.
Right.
So you know that's not to make it any better or worse. But still, my curiosity is how Carlos got to this point. Mm-hmm. You know, what was going through his mind that led him to do these things? And that's what I'm most curious about. And that, I think, is more of a story than, you know, the petty stuff that they describe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's a warning to people to not bow into whatever temptation might come across your way.
It sounds like he was tempted by the dark side of the force.
Yeah, something evil like that happened. Interesting. So anything else before we go to the phones? Well, here's... I want you to read this.
What's that?
It's about a new book, which has been released.
A new book?
Another book, yes.
Break In. That book?
It's Break In?
Break In.
Okay.
That's the name of the story, anyway.
No, the name of the book. It's got an at sign in it.
Oh, At Large.
At Large.
With an
at
symbol.
Get it?
Yeah. Oh, they're pretty clever there. A cracker who called himself Phantom Dialer broke inside Intel. With only simple software and relentless persistence, Phantom Dialer, who has been diagnosed as mildly retarded, also explored the closely guarded computers of the ATM network, NASA, MIT, and even Los Alamos, to name a few. In At Large, David H. Friedman and Charles C. Mann turn the FBI's pursuit of Phantom Dialer into a crafty thriller and describe the Internet's future as urban. Life goes on as usual while frequent crime is an accepted part of existence. Now, I have something really interesting to say about this.
Okay,
go ahead. These two authors, okay, someone called me from, they don't say who the publisher is, but someone called me from a publishing house, and they said that they were trying to get in touch with someone who was mentioned in a book by these two very same people.
Really?
Yes, and you know who they were trying to get a hold of?
Who?
The very same JSC.
JSC.
And I don't know if he's mentioned...
Kevin Mitnick contact from overseas.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's mentioned in this book or not, but this sounds like something completely different. This story about a purported retarded person?
Uh-huh.
Is this possibly what happens to a story when they have absolutely no facts to go on? That they just manufacture their own?
Guess what I just got.
What'd you get?
I just got the weather from Anchorage. I tricked everybody, and I sent it while I was talking.
You should be
Anchorage
proud.
Tonight, mostly cloudy with a few showers. This evening, lows in the low to mid-40s.
That can't be Anchorage.
Yeah, that's Anchorage.
There's no snow in there.
It doesn't snow there all the time. West wind to 10 miles per hour. And I just got that now.
You should be very
now,
proud.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything, right?
To do that?
Yeah.
Why should it?
I don't know. They charge you for everything.
Well, you're on the Pioneer Advanced Plan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Then you could do 100 of those without ever being charged.
Okay. I guess.
Sure you ever want to.
All right. Well, enough of that. Let's take some phone calls.
But don't you find that odd?
I find it odd, but then again, I don't really find anything odd these days.
Well, I do.
I'm a bit of a cynic.
I like to think I do.
All right. 212-279-3400. Should I just take Rebel's phone call now and get it over with?
No. Oh. Yeah. He could be Phantom Dialer.
Okay, these buttons aren't working very well today for some reason. They're really not working. I'm pressing them as hard as I can. Ah, there we go. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. The number for AT&T Nationwide.
This is the guy that would know this.
Yeah.
I'm glad he called. Okay.
Information is, fairly logically enough, 1-900.
Ah, 900.
555-1212. Now, I have never called them when I did not know what area code or two area codes I wanted to ask for a number in, but I think we can assume with complete confidence that if you say Floopwangel, Massachusetts, they'll know whether it's 9, whatever.
Is that a real town?
I made up Floopwangel.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a good name.
Floopwangelville Center, Massachusetts.
Right.
Now, you may... see, one thing the Bells began doing maybe 10 years ago or something, and as a way of nickel and diming us to death, was that they would... your second call on a directory call, because with 9X you can do, as long as they're not too busy, you can make 5 inquiries, a maximum of 5, on one call, but you're charged, at least if you're within the area where they can... press the button and charge you for it, you're charged for every single one. Most of the other companies around the country, or at least out of New York State, since they have to deal with a different commission every state, have let you always have either one or two on every call to directory. But what they started doing about 10 years ago, and now with the proliferation of area codes, some of them are getting embarrassed by that and have backed off from it, the second one had to always be in the same area code as the first, even if the operator took calls for several area codes, including both the ones you want. So one time in a million, you might then call back for the number you wanted to that Bell telephone operator. Maybe GTE and others were the same, because GTE operates... information service in a few places like Long Beach, California, and Tampa, St. Petersburg, where they're the local monopoly carrier.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so one time in a million, you might actually get the same. You call, like, West Virginia and Washington, D.C. For years, there was a batch of operators in West Virginia who handled just those two area codes, so they're not directly adjoining each other. And one time in a million, you ask for a DC number, give you that. And then you might get that same operator on your recall because she wasn't allowed to give you the 304, the West Virginia one, on the same inquiry. Anyway, the nice thing about this 900-555-1212 is that they have always allowed you, it's two calls for the one thing. Excuse me, they've expanded it a little recently. You can do up to 4 pairs of inquiries now on a single call. So it works out this way. For your first charge, and it started out at 75 cents, I think it's up to about 85 now. Okay. Okay, she answers. So you ask for 1 or 2 calls, and you're charged the 1.85 cents, or 95, I guess it may be now, okay? Then if you want a third one,
mm-hmm,
you pay a second 95 cents, but you can have a fourth number if you want. And then if you ask for a fifth one, you're into the third charge, but
right,
you may also have the sixth, and so on up through 7 and 8.
Well, why do they bother stopping at 8, though? I mean, they're charging you the same amount as if you keep calling back each time.
I wouldn't know unless it's a... I really have no idea what the answer to that is. I have also found, though, over a couple of years of using them, that they don't seem to be as absolutely up to the minute,
uh-huh,
with their information,
they're
which, after all, is being supplied to them secondhand through the,
yeah,
Bell company.
They're probably getting CD-ROMs from the Bell company.
And therefore, they may only update once a month or something instead,
right,
of every couple of days, the way the local companies are furnishing.
Right. Let me ask you this. I have this article here from the Boston Herald. concerning area codes that have changed. 508, for instance, was carved out of 617 9 years ago. It was supposed to last 22 years, and they're running out of numbers next year instead.
Right.
Now they have these new ones, 978 and 781. There's this whole big controversy up there about how they're going to divide it, and one group of people wanted it to be divided by say fax and data lines and pagers and cell phones. And according to this article, it says the Federal Communications Commission ruled against such plans in 1995, saying they would hinder those technologies. So my question is, what about 917? That's exactly how 917 was made, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but you have to remember there was some kind of an FCC regulation saying that it could only be predominantly for those technologies, and that there could be no area code that was set aside exclusively for public phones and or mobile phones and or faxes. I do remember that, and in fact, I think I've seen in some of the stuff, the proceedings I get about like the 646 area code from the New York State Public Service Commission being on their mailing list for that, I believe it said that with 917, they don't hold me to this, but I think there was some mention it said that they intended to make it into a regular area code.
Ooh.
I could easily be wrong about that, but and seemed to go back to the same question, and whatever reason, which I have no idea what the reason was, that the FCC was uncomfortable from the beginning about having separate area codes just for that. Now,
I mean, I think it's kind of handy, actually. I mean, when someone gives you a 917 number and says it's their office, you know they're operating out of their car or something.
Right.
And it's kind of handy to know what it is you're dealing with.
Right. Also, you may have noticed that on 917 incoming to your caller ID display, it never gives a name.
It never gives a name.
Never does, even if you have caller ID with name service.
Well, yeah, because 917 is not attached to an address.
Oh, well, the name that does show up on caller ID displays is always that of the listing party name.
Right.
Not the billing party name, necessarily.
Right.
Or the account whose line the call is coming from, right?
Yeah.
So every account has a billable name.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a public telephone on the sidewalk, it'll say City of New York, for example.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never saw that.
Otherwise, let's say it'll give the name of the restaurant or the theater or whatever whose lobby mm-hmm. the thing is, what 9X calls semi-pub Cohen. But with 917, it never shows up, and I think that's because it's all basically unlisted anyway.
I think there are some 917 numbers that are listed. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, okay, but I mean,
I'm
basically,
sure
they don't try to nudge you into being listed the way they do with wireline
right.
service.
Definitely
one,
true.
One thing that's a little scary, you know how you're supposed to be able to depend on never having anything except the state name or dist of Columbia or whatever
mm-hmm.
show on the name line when it's coming from outside your own ladder or calling region, right?
Right, yes.
I got one. Now, here I am down in Brooklyn, 718, or possibly 347 in 1999 or 2000.
Whoa, 34, where'd you hear that one? 347?
That one was in some of the mailing stuff. I'm trying to think where else, but anyway, yeah.
347 is another split from 718?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
How did I miss
this
that?
Was just in the last couple of weeks this came along, trying to think.
Oh, my.
Anyway, Brooklyn and Staten Island would, in 1999 or 2000, I think, would become 347, while since the Bronx plus Marble Hill, Manhattan, which has a Bronx area code and police precinct and so forth, of course, the Bronx changed over to 718 so comparatively.
Yeah, you couldn't put them through another area code change. That wouldn't be fair.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they would, Bronx and Queens would remain 718. Also, I was interested to note in an article about the no man's land along a single street in the Bronx, Park Drive, at the northeast edge of the Bronx, which had 914 telephones as their regular area code, wireline area code, even though they're in New York City. When you look at a map and you see how that's isolated right against Westchester County with all the rest... Then Pelham Bay Park is miles deep before you get to the rest of New York City, it made perfect sense. They now have 718 as their area code also, so they 9X sort of bit the bullet and just, I mean, I don't think it would cost them much. It would be like wiring for FX service, sort of.
Okay, we have to move on to another call, but I just wanted to ask you one final question concerning 646. Have you heard anything new about that as far as where it's going?
However, the last thing, the thing that came on the official map, now this was definitely from the Public Service Commission, showed 23rd Street as being the dividing line. You remember I said on an earlier call they had the initial five proposals, one would have been Canal Street, and I said, talk about extremely tiny territories, and you agreed with me.
Yes.
Well, this would be 23rd, and the question is, there is one block, like from 13th to 14th and about 1st to 2nd Avenue or 2nd to 3rd Avenue, if they did it that way, to make it an absolute geographic thing, make it easy to do, not like between the old rate zone 1 and 2 where it goes about 64th and 65th Streets, okay, that block would get new phone numbers so that they could stay south of 23rd Street and be in 212, and a whole big bunch of blocks to the north of 23rd, mostly on the west side, would have to, I'm trying to think, also get new phone numbers so that they could become, being north of 23rd, could become part of 646.
Wow. Well, let's just say the it's not settled yet, and it will be at some point in the near future. Thanks very much for calling. And, Joker, let me find your microphone. No, that's not it. Try this one.
Three?
Okay, yeah, that's it.
In regards to this, because I came in late, I didn't know what you were talking about originally, I have a paper that I'll send to you. Exactly what he was outlining, 347 for Staten Island and Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx retaining 718. And 212 staying as is with the addition of 646, meaning that anybody who already has a 212 number keeps it, and any new number...
It's an overlay, then.
Exactly.
And that also means it will be dialing 10 digits no matter what, or 11 digits, actually. Just like in Maryland.
Yeah, that was the last proposed plan that I saw.
Uh-huh.
But then again, I haven't seen any official word on it.
Yeah. So you could have two different area codes.
They were extremely worried about all the businesses that have been here so long and done, you know, spent all their money on advertising with 212, and then having the money that would have to be spent for all of those business based.
They should have listened to me. They should have listened to me. Four-digit area codes would have solved everything. But no, they didn't listen. Did you hear about this, Fiber? 347?
347? No. I can't say I've heard about it.
You kind of snuck that one by, didn't
you? If I still lived in Brooklyn or Queens, I'm sure I would have came across it, but I didn't.
Well, I mean, it's in the same media that we would see here, you know. There's no specific Brooklyn-Queens TV stations that don't talk about Manhattan.
But I would have paid more attention.
All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
I noticed all these ringing things going on in the background, which means that people have multiple phone lines.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah.
Got two.
Wow.
What can I tell you?
The other guy had that, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just hung up, so somebody can squeeze in on my other one.
All right.
I did a stupid thing a couple of months ago. I dialed an 800 number that I saw on TV for one of those psychic 10-minute free things.
Right.
And what they did was they asked me who I was. It was a recording. And they asked me to leave my name and address, and they said they would get back to me. And a month later, I got on my bill was a charge from Integritel for $9.95, a monthly membership fee.
Integritel, the company with no integrity.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I called the customer service, which was proudly listed on the bill, and they said that I, by leaving my name, I agreed to a $9.95 charge.
Uh-huh.
And
how about by ripping me off, you agree to be killed?
Absolutely.
Why don't you tell them that? I mean, this is like crazy. You can't allow these people to get away with this. They're coming up with these ridiculous rules and as to how they can rip you off.
So I denied having called them, and they played back for me my recording. They said, hold on, what's your number again? And they played back for me the recording, and they said, no matter what, you have to pay this $9.95. So I said, well, I'm going to take it to the Public Service Commission. They said, do what you want. It's legal.
Okay,
and then I got billed a month later for the same charge.
This is what you do, okay? The first thing you do is you contact 9X and say that you've talked to Integritel and you're in a dispute with them. You want to remove from your 9X bill. That at least gets 9X out of it. Integritel will have to send you letters, you know, directly.
I've done that already.
Okay, good. A lot of people might not know about that.
Yeah, but the most important thing to tell the folks is don't dial that number, whatever you do.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that sounds like, a rip-off, even though it's an 800 number.
Well, why would you need psychic advice in the first place?
Well, I just wanted to see what the 10-minute free...
A psychic could have warned him about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they could have warned him that some sort of rip-off was in the cards.
Yeah. And the other thing I saw that was kind of funny was another one of these chat lines or conference lines.
Yes.
And the number looked like an out-of-the-country number, and it ended up to be, I dialed 00 just to find out what the number was, what the number would have been.
Right.
And they said it was Guam.
Oh, well, that's not really out of the country, is that? That's part of...
It's a U.S. protectorate.
Does it have an area code or a country code?
It had a country.
It has a country code.
Okay, so yeah, I guess it is out of the country then,
yeah.
in that regard.
Yeah. So that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Go ahead.
You might want to know that IntegraTel has a special deal going with Garth Brooks. When they ask you to leave your name, just say Garth Brooks. And
Garth Brooks is mad enough at us already. We don't need to... We had some things after Hope to discuss with him, and... Well, let's just say it's in the hands of the attorneys right now, but I still like Garth. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I have some info here on that 347.
Yeah, go ahead.
Issue. Okay. This is coming out of the Park Slope paper, August.
He found a Brooklyn media outlet. I said there's no Brooklyn media, and he found one. Okay.
I got one right here.
I'm wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Okay, they're talking about two options, which you're probably aware of, either the overlay or the geographic split.
Mm-hmm.
Which AT&T is proposing here.
Okay.
Now, what they're saying is that the overlay would go into Brooklyn and Staten Island along with the 646 in Manhattan. Okay? Or the geographic split would be what they're talking about with along 23rd Street, and 646 would go north, and then Staten Island and Brooklyn would go to... 347.
Okay.
And this is like the beginning of August when this came out, so, you know, the hearings in Staten Island and Queens were just sort of finishing up. But they're expecting a decision in September, is what they say here.
Really? And any words to when, is it 646 as well as 347?
Right. It looks like they're talking about having both of them go into effect at the same time.
Right, which won't be for at least another year, right?
Right. I mean, I guess they would decide, you know, next month and then go from there.
Okay.
With it.
So are there still public hearings that will be happening?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, people aren't going to let this one go without a fight.
Right.
And being from Brooklyn, you know, I don't feel like having my area code changed, personally.
Well, you guys said that a few years ago, too, when you were 212. And, you know, they were able to push you around then. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what they'll be able to do now? All right, well, thanks for the info. We're
okay.
Out of time. All right, take care.
Later.
A lot of changes on the horizon. Bell Atlantic moving in and new area codes and ADSL, things like that. So stay tuned next week for our special ADSL show as we talk about what that means to people and how it will affect you and what kind of service Bell Atlantic will offer when they make some changes around here. Till next week, this is Emmanuel Goldstein for Fiber Optic. Have a good night.
Sean Rhodes. You know, the sound of a record is just as important to its success as the lyrics, the melody, and the instrumentation. And the person responsible for that sound is the recording engineer. Join me on Tuesday, August 26th at midnight for the second installment of Rock On as I speak to a number of recording engineers who will illustrate the various ways the sound of a record can be altered. They'll also give tips on how to build your own home studio and how to become a recording engineer. So remember, that's Tuesday, August 26th at midnight, as I speak to recording engineers on the second installment of Rock On.